In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 134. John Senecal, myself, Brian Shackman, joined by the Matt Sirois.
What's happening?
Lean and mean. How you feeling?
I love how you guys put your radio voices on. Everything's what? Great. Leading up to this, it was... I'm so glad it's Friday.
We said we were going to do a rant, and Matt's like, can I do it too? Like, okay. If you don't know Matt Sirois, he is the producer of this podcast, also the producer of My Show, Brian, and company on WTIC News Talk 1080, a lifelong Yankee fan as well. And so it's like gang up season. But since I don't have a ton to say, I thought it would be good to have the both of you on. We'll talk about MVP stuff, Stanton and Cashman a little bit, and then we'll rant, if you will. First of all, I want to ask you too. I mean, Cashman takes a dig at Stanton, and Stanton's agent rips Cashman and warns people not to come to New York. I'll just let you start.
Warns people, do not go to New York. It's not safe. I'll give you my take on it. I think it's Cashman's way of, A, kind of putting him on notice, but also being like, let's maybe light a fire. Can we piss this guy off and maybe he'll waive his no trade clause and ask for a trade somewhere? The interesting thing is his agent is also Yamamoto's agent.
Yeah.
So that is a little spooky. So if the agent says don't go to New York and then that's his client, that's a little scary. But my take is, he didn't state anything that was wrong, or it's obvious. He probably is going to get hurt. He has been hurt. He gets hurt every year. He was a super underperformer. But I think it was twofold: light a little fire, and if he is going to stick around, perform. And if he's not wanting to stick around, maybe he's the one that initiates. Like, hey, can I get the proceedings going to get out of here?
When I first read this, I literally was like, "Oh, this is like a satire site," because Brian Cashman wouldn't say this, right? And then when I verified it and saw it was actually real, I was like, I said, is he trying to light a fire? And I sent the YouTube video of George Costanza driving a World Series trophy around a parking lot shouting obscenities at George Steinbrenner. I was like, is he trying to get fired? Like what's he doing? But it was kind of surprising, but at the same time, if he's trying to drive him out of town, I think I'm okay with it.
But do you both assume it's calculated?
I think it's calculated.
Or was it just him being frustrated and like he's saying like I'm kind of a lame duck?
I don't think it's frustrated because a week ago he said that he's proud of the team and he thinks that they did pretty good. So
but he also went on that rant like too with the media the first day of the
yes,
GM
pretty,
meetings.
Pretty defensive.
It was like a profanity laced rant, which you know calls into question the whole like you know oh, we're the Yankees and you know we cut our hair and we all that. And now all of a sudden we're on air like saying, you know, oh, F this and F that, and we are this good and that.
But the agent saying that, does that mean it backfired? Or is it, could be, because I feel like, listen, being a Boston fan, there was a long time where people said black people don't want to play for the Celtics. They don't want to come to Boston. It's racist. Same with the Red Sox. Red Sox actually have a pretty strong racist history in their ownership. Not the current owners, but previous ones. So, like, I understand how perception, sometimes the tail can wag the dog, too. Sometimes it's not true, but the reputation is that way, right? So, I mean, do you think this could actually hurt? Do you think Ohtani's like, I don't want to go there?
Well, like, if that's his agent and
I'm just saying, like,
stay away from New York, I think in that specific case, it does hurt him, right? I mean, if he's come out and said, stay away from New York, and he is the main pitching free agent, you know, other than the couple that are in the MLB.
Because he's Yamamoto's agent.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I think it does hurt him. But at the same time, as a Yankee fan who's been ranting about getting rid of Stanton, I kind of like it. Because, look, if you look at the Yankees roster, do they really need to add that much more money to their payroll with Yamamoto? Yeah, he'd be great to have and all, but who's to say he's not 14 starts away from his first Tommy John surgery, and he's pitched 18 million innings already. So, yeah, there's a gray area there. So do we want to spend more money on that? I don't even know if he'd be coming to New York. So I think it'd be more beneficial to get rid of Stanton than it would be to bring Yamamoto in, because you also got guys already on your roster that, if they're healthy, are probably just as good and have already played in New York.
I completely agree. I mean, I don't know what it is, and it seems like history just keeps repeating itself now with Shohei getting this is his second Tommy John surgery, right?
Yeah, if he got a Tommy John surgery. You don't even know what he got.
Right, right. It could have been a variation of different things. But, I mean, Daisuke Matsuzaka got it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a pitch count in Japan.
There's a whole documentary on these kids throw like an insane amount of innings. They'll throw like 200 innings a week or something. It's like crazy.
They go three days rest, too, a lot of the time, too, over there. So
why don't they understand?
I don't
know. Well, the old school thought is if you actually built up the arm, it could last longer, but it doesn't matter. It's like pitchers are like thoroughbred horses. They've been bred a certain way, and you can't go back. You know, it's you're not going to get, you know, someone pitching, you know, like Satchel Paige type stuff.
Yeah, well, eventually it's gonna wear out, right? I mean, look at through the history of baseball. How many pitchers went their whole career and didn't go on the IL or DL, what it used to be called, for some sort of arm? Was it elbow or the labrum or the shoulder? Like, it just doesn't happen. And eventually, most guys just burn out, and they only make it 4 or 5 years because their arms can't handle. I mean, their arms just can't handle it. It just doesn't.
So net,
too much torque.
Net, you're fine with Cashman?
I'm not fine with Cashman.
I wish Cashman wasn't even there, to be honest with you. I feel like it'd be better if he wasn't involved.
So let's get rid of Stanton and Cashman.
The whole BS audit system is like, what did they do? We talked about this before. It's like they're going to blame it on someone. They didn't blame it on anybody. They got rid of a coach that didn't even want to be there.
Sounds like we're ranting already. Right? But
I mean, Sean Casey is the only one that left, and then another coach left to manage the Mets. I mean, did they get rid of anybody? No, they left.
Yeah, see, I think that in some ways the Red Sox have more opportunity because I feel like they have more like budget to spend and more places to feel like. I think the Yankees aren't close.
No, the Yankees have got so much fat just hanging around. It's not just on the roster. It's in the office, too.
Yeah, and they've really done very little to change it. Let's put a little pin in that because we'll come back for whatever rants you want to do. We're going to just do an open rant with whatever at the end of the podcast. So Acuna and Shohei win MVP. And, you know, to me, I'm really not that engaged in postseason, you know, offseason baseball right now. Like, the hot stove to me is like cold as ice. I could care less right now. But, I mean, Shohei, where he goes is interesting to me. But I just feel like it's not New York or Boston. It just doesn't feel like you hear rumors. I don't know if it's Chicago or somewhere. They're like, or is it the Mets? I can't remember. Somebody was quoted as saying, like, don't get overbid by somebody else. Like, there are other places out there who are going to spend whatever it takes.
Yeah, I've heard San Francisco, Chicago, the Cubs, or
Atlanta. Heard of all.
Atlanta can't really do it, though.
Why couldn't they? Why not? They got payroll flexibility, and they've been winning and winning and winning. They got money generated like crazy in that
team. I feel like they have a lot of stars
but they're all being paid nothing, dude. They are smart. They signed all these guys for like under $10 million a year contracts. These guys are $30 million players that they got locked up for the next 6 years.
Do you think those guys play pissed?
I don't know if you're winning, nobody plays pissed.
Even though you're getting paid $15 million when you get double that.
Yeah, but I mean, think about the life these guys live, man.
I don't know.
I mean, yes, you're away from your family, you're moving, but most of these guys that are younger, they might not have like the whole family unit going, and everything is catered to you. I mean, your biggest probably adaptation is going and flying and staying at a hotel, which is going to be a nice room. That's probably your biggest adaptation as far as it's the travel. Right,
we're speaking for people who are like, we're not millionaires. So
what I'm saying, if you're making $15 million a year, like you don't have like you have money problems because you got people bothering you.
Money's still money.
We deal with every
day. If someone said to you, I could double your salary, but you're in a contract, so I can't do that. You'd be a little ticked. I'm not just saying like if they go out and give $500 million to Shohei, I don't know. It kind of changes the dynamic in the clubhouse or whatever. But I mean, do you assume that the Yankees and Red Sox won't get someone like that?
I don't think the Yankees are going to spend the money unless it's like a really short contract. I mean, he's going to want $50 million regardless, like if he's pitching or not.
Yeah.
He's going to want that. I mean, I think that's insane. That is completely insane because, listen, if he's not going back to the Japanese pitcher thing, if he is not going to be someone who can adapt and stay on that mound, he's going to have to be something else. He's not just going to be a DH and be a person that's going to sign a 10-year contract, regardless of who he's bringing into the stadium. He's going to need.
So you're
to be
saying
a first
your
base.
Point is he's not worth it?
No, he's going to he's going to have to play a different position to be valuable for a team. Because listen, there's universal DH now, but there's a ton of other guys that need to be that universal DH, the Kyle Schwarbers of the world. So if you're a two-sport athlete and you are that not two-sport two-way athlete and you're that talented, you should be able to pick up first base like nothing, like Bryce Harper, right?
Yeah,
right. You should be able to play the outfield, and I would think his longevity would be learn first base, get to a team, hope to sign, and be like, listen, I'm a team player. I'm ready to play first base. I'm ready to pitch when I can, if I can. And if I can't, here I am, first base.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hit one of the best players in the league still.
I agree. And that's why the Yankees will be out because, everybody needs pitching, but he can't pitch this year. I think they would rather have a Juan Soto that they can get for a year. And I think they probably will end up with Juan Soto. And with Shohei, you don't know what you're going to get long term after a second Tommy John surgery. You just can't. You can't tell after a second Tommy John surgery if that guy's fastball is going to be 3-4 miles an hour less.
It almost always makes you stronger, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but there's two of them, too, and he is getting older. I mean, what is he? Shohei's probably, 28?
Yeah.
I mean, you say older, but in baseball age, that is old.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The interesting part about this year is, Acuña and Otani won, and that's the first time in MLB history it's been unanimous for both players.
Yeah.
In both leagues.
I sort of think that's a cultural shift among the media, actually. I think that there's less of that person who's like, I have to vote for my hometown guy, or I don't want to vote for him because X or Y. Like,
Otani, that's his second unanimous, too, and he missed the whole last month of the season. So, this award was pretty much decided. He owned this award.
I think he's the most outstanding player in baseball. I'm not sure he's the most valuable. Like, I still look at MVP as someone who, like, if you don't have that person, you can't win type thing.
Yeah.
And I think he is by far the most talented overall baseball player on the planet. But I don't know if that makes him MVP. It's like when Cal Ripken won it and the Orioles finished last. Like, I was like, that's kind of garbage. But whatever. I mean, that's just how my take on the award, which is a dinosaur take.
I was surprised he got a unanimous. I really was.
Yeah.
I did not expect that. I did not expect
just for the sake alone that he was out a month.
Yeah, and his team wasn't. Yeah. His team was nothing. Yeah. His team was like in it.
They weren't bad.
They were kind of in it, but they really never were considered in it. Really, when you think about it.
Especially in the AL West, when you got those other three.
Yeah,
teams
and you
on
lose
top,
Trout too, right? I mean, that's
they're out.
Yeah, you're done. You can't recover from that.
He's John Senecal. He's Matt Stroys. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 134 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I got to be honest. I could care less about the hitting coach for the Yankees. I mean, it's obvious that he's Judge's guy, and who cares? And B, the A's to Vegas, like, duh, it was going to happen. Like, you guys got anything you want to say on that? Go ahead, but I got nothing to say about it.
The only thing about the A's that's interesting is where are they going to play? Their lease is up after this season in Oakland, so they have to figure out where to play in 25, 26, and 27 before their new stadium.
It's going to take that long to build one?
Well, yeah. It takes 3 or so years, you know? I mean, you got to grease the politicians, right?
They got to tear down some real estate,
right?
They got to build on the strip there.
Take some salamanders off the grid and that kind of stuff.
So
you know how it goes.
They'll be playing at UNLV or something?
Like, well, they talk about playing in San Francisco, talking about
playing Montreal.
Playing at their AAA park in Nevada.
It's right outside of Vegas. Yeah.
Las Vegas Aces. I think
it probably seats like 10.
Well, the new stadium's only supposed to seat 30,000. So I think that's the new hybrid model. Like, if your team sucks, keep it down low. Like, keep it like the Tampa was going to get a 30,000. They ain't going to fill that. They aren't going to fill it. They might, but it's still Vegas, right?
Well, I think that's their thinking too, is that the turnover in Vegas, people will just go for vacation, and it'll be like, like they kind of do with the Raiders games there too. The Raiders sell out,
but the Golden Knights fans are nuts.
The Golden Knights fans are
so
insane.
Like, I think there is a base to be had there because the Golden Knights prove those people are not people getting comped at the win.
But those are what, like 12? Those are like 12-13,000 seat arenas, right? They're playing, and you're talking about doubling the people.
No, T-Mobile, I think, is 18. But
either way, like, you know, baseball is baseball. Baseball has always sort of drawn more people than those sports, but I think Vegas, one thing it's done for me to just chime in here is that it's underrated. What I've discovered is underrated as a sports town. It's better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, if they go and this all comes to fruition, which it should, right, there's going to be money to spend, I'm hoping, on the team because listen, the A's, since their owner in the last 20-something years has owned the team, they've been either like at the bottom of the payroll or in the last like 8 to 10, right? So they're not spending money. And regardless of what you say about the 2000 A's in that year and they won 20 straight and they string off in their competition, they never spend money. So hopefully for this team, when they move, they spend some money and they can compete. Because listen, any way you slice it, if the product's not on the field, eventually the people are not going to show up.
Mm-hmm. You got to be good, or at least be in a cycle of being good, right? I mean, right. They even stopped being in the cycle of being good. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, Matt Saroyce here on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Okay, so you guys were like, let's have a rant. Like, what are you pissed about? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I was like, what are you ranting about? And John's like, I don't know. Rant on whatever you want. Like, so am I going to talk about my
dissatisfaction?
Yeah, like... You're like, oh, well,
we're going to go around. We're going to go around the table.
I'm not starting.
Therapy session. Let's go. Therapy
John,
session.
You're the angriest person I know.
The angriest person. Well, I wouldn't say that.
I'm kidding. I talked to Kevin Nathan's a longtime sports anchor and anchor here. And, you know, I talk about the podcast. And, you know, Kevin's a good friend of mine, a mentor. And, you know, he's an intense guy or whatever. And he asked how you were doing. I was like, you know, he's not as angry as he used to be. He's just not angry. Like, I don't know where the turn was, but like, he used to be so edgy when I first met him.
More than now?
Oh my God, this is like teddy bear.
It's tame.
The edginess left when I stopped my job, when I stopped being a news photographer, when I stopped getting a stress ball thrown at me all day long. Like, that job is stressful. Like,
so that's what made it. So once you
that's
left news.
That was it. That mellowed me out. I'm like, listen, this morning, like my son like wrecked our car like 2 weeks, 3 weeks
Get
ago.
Get out. Is he okay?
He rear-ended someone, right? It wasn't a huge
deal.
Was
he on his phone?
Of course.
Jesus.
He'll say he wasn't, but I mean.
You know he was.
How the hell do you rear-end people? right? Exactly. He didn't get any tickets or whatever. So the car's been at the collision place.
Which one?
Hoffman.
No, which car?
Oh, not my truck.
Okay.
He wouldn't be alive right now. anyway, so that gets done. You know, you would just say, like, angry John. This place has been, like, they've had the car for, like, 3 weeks, right? They said it'd be a week. I go check after a week. It's just sitting there, right? So I'm like, all right, well, what's the, oh, you know, like, next Wednesday. So I call yesterday, the day after next Wednesday, and no answer, right? It always goes to voicemail. So you leave a voicemail, no one calls you back. So I go in there this morning. Car still sitting in the same spot. Nothing's been done with it. So I like look at the guy and I was nice. I was like, you know, it's all about communication. You know, like you got to tell me, you know, but old guy would have walked in there and started losing
his
shit.
You would have MF'd him up and down the building.
Right? But that's not the way to do business, right? Because chances are they're going to realign
gonna
my front
piss
end.
In your, something. In your gas tank.
They're going to leave something in the vent or something. Like I'm not going
a
down
dead
that
rat.
Road. A, I am pissed, right? Because I want my car back, right? I want like our normalcy back, our routine back. So we have all three cars moving in this different directions. But I'm not like it's not worth the battle, right? It's not worth the battle.
That's like, by the way, what a great rant, but it's kind of like nice guy John rant.
That wasn't even my rant. I wanted to rant. You know what I wanted to rant about?
What?
I wanted to rant about self-checkouts. Self-checkouts and the tip button.
The tip button is like, that's like the easiest rant on the planet.
Right, but the tip button and like the whole like service industry, because like people that wait tables and they're making like what, $6 an hour?
Well, not anymore, but they make more now. But yeah.
But they don't make minimum wage.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure that out. I've never been in the service industry. I never plan on being in the service industry. Like I always tell my son and my, you don't want to be in that industry because you got to deal with people that like to rant, right?
Yep.
So my question is A, why aren't you making minimum wage? And then all the BS you deal with on top of it is your tip, and that's based on your performance, right? You're showing up to work. And then the custom tip. I don't get that custom tip or any of that tipping thing. Well, and it's at every angle. I don't even care.
Right.
I feel like a mailman's going to show up, put the shit in my mailbox and be like, hey.
A little something for the effort.
Something for the tip. Custom tip.
So the first thing.
Pump your own gas, custom tip at the end. Is that going to be the next thing?
I worked at a bar once and my hourly wage was $2.55. And it's not like this is 50 years ago. It's like, and I made everything on tips. And. It is the culture of it has always been problematic, but the second element is this. What I don't like is even like in a Brugger's Bagels or a coffee shop, they ask for the tip, the prompt, then they look at the screen to finish the transaction, so they know whether you screwed them or not.
They judge you,
and for me, it's like if they just it's just weird because of that, because then I feel like, am I a cheap bastard?
Yeah.
Because I didn't give him a dollar at Brugger's for throwing 12 bagels in a bag.
Right. Or it's the would you like to donate to yeah. the to blah, blah, round blah, up? Blah, 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 and everyone's looking at you. Right. And you're like, it's the like, moment of truth.
Right. And, the, and you're like, no, you sure you don't want to do that?
Don't want to donate. Yeah. And like, there's a little girl next to you, like behind you with her mom, who clearly could probably benefit from the donation. Stop and you're it. Like, what? Like, no, I don't. I had a guy the other day, no joke, at a checkout, started to ask me if I want to donate. He couldn't even remember because he's probably got so many of the things running through his head. He's like, do you want to donate to the, and I'm like, no.
I don't. Let me stop you there.
I don't. Because, like, listen, not to sound like a jerk, but nobody knows what you're doing outside of that transaction. Nobody knows what comes right. out of your paycheck.
Or how
nobody
much you comes, give to charity or
nobody
volunteer.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah.
The plate that gets passed at church, nobody knows
that. I have
that.
Much less trouble saying no to that stuff than this the $1 tip at the coffee shop stuff. Because, like, you know, and it's not like I'm cheap because I'm not, but it's like... What are we doing here?
Never ends.
You got.
I'm with you on that too. Like the especially the Roundup ones that they have at the self checkout now. Would you like to round up to the nearest dollar, like instead of getting change back?
No. Are you sure? Yeah. Or how about this one? Would you like to give it to that one?
Did you mean to press no? Yeah, I meant to press no.
Listen, it's fine to say no to a computer. It's saying no to a person that's harder. You know, that's the hard part. And then people say, well, these people don't make enough money, this and that. And I just think that there's that shaming element that's just brutal. And I think it's unfair because, like, when they see that you didn't tip, you feel like you're going to get treated differently. And that it shouldn't be that way.
I mean, and I love tipping. I'm for tipping and everything. But especially, like, you go to, the XL Center or something like that, and there's sweetest people, and the staff there is great. But you go into the beer cooler yourself, you grab your beer, you go up to the line, they ring it up, and like you said, they flip the iPad around, like, and it says 15, 18, 20, 25% tip. And I'm like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Right, 25?
Like, what did you do?
And by the way, if your beer is $16, you give them $4. And maybe some people pay it. I don't know. I'm surprised SNL hasn't done something on this yet.
I was at a concert over the summer and I saw a kiosk thing where you served yourself. You like walked in, you went underneath like a little like radar detector. You grabbed your thing and literally just walked out and it just – and when you went in, you like scanned your debit card or whatever. Yeah. So it had you locked in. So listen, I mean, we can all say like AI is coming, right? And it's going to replace everyone. But I still got to bag those groceries and I got to watch someone watch me do it, right? And then when I get to the door – they got to be like, look, can I check your receipt to make sure that you didn't steal from us? And I want to be like, no, why don't you go up there and ring the shit out yourself? And then we will know that I'm not stealing from you. Again, the judgment zone, right?
Yeah.
You're going over there. And then God forbid you scan something and the sensor didn't go scan. It's like, wah, 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 wah. It's going off and everyone's like, oh, this guy stole stuff. Meanwhile, you got a guy ripping out the back door with a whole cart full of stuff.
That's the thing is that people are stealing.
Left
like
and right.
Now that they're going back, I want to get Matt's turn to rant. They're going back on the self-checkout. Like self-checkout, now they're like, we're not going to do this anymore because they're stealing so much crap from us. What's on your mind, big guy?
I'll tell you. I bought a couple pairs of tickets to some upcoming concerts next year, summer concerts and everything. And what they're doing with Ticketmaster is wrong.
It's not just wrong. It's vicious.
It's absolute larceny is what it is because – They're doing like the all-in price now. They call it like the all-in price. So you're not getting hit with fees.
Well, you're getting hit by them, but you just know up front.
When you click on the tickets, instead of it saying like $88 per ticket,
it says $125.
It says $125, right? So it's supposed to make you feel better that you're still spending the $125 because you're not seeing all these fees tacked on. They're still screwing you.
Well, the politicians say, well, this is with more transparency so you know. It's like... No, if the fees go directly to their bottom line and don't actually pay for something, they shouldn't be there. And the problem is we have no power.
Nothing.
There's no recourse. And like the concert industry is so broken. And I want Taylor Swift or whomever, I want them to make all the money in the world. But this is like awful. And like the average person can't do it. And it is disgusting to me.
And I'll tell you, I had a good idea too. And the next time we talk to one of our officials about this, we should... bring it up. If you're going to tack on those fees like that, and instead of an $88 ticket, have it be $125, include a drink voucher for a 12-ounce beer. include a hot dog with it or something.
But they don't have. That's the point. Yes,
they don't. But
they don't have to.
Yeah,
and they still. You still buy the stupid dog. You still buy the stupid beer. And because there's enough people in this country who have the money or don't care to pay for it. But like, I do think about value. Like, think about what's really worth it. And that stuff makes like that's why I'm done with my season tickets with the Red Sox because I'm sick of paying for something that's not worth it. And it's not just the product on the field, it's the whole thing. And it's like my vote doesn't matter. Like mine doing that, is it going to make a difference? Probably not. But I can't do it anymore. So like now, like I don't even go for like, I want to see Mike Birbiglia or I want to see Green Day or whatever, and like I'm not gonna.
Right.
And it sucks because I'd like to see both of them, and I'd like to enrich Mike Birbiglia and Joe what's his face. But I'm not gonna go.
The extras have just gotten out of hand. It's crazy. Yeah. And it's you know, even like you can blame it, part of it on COVID, but it was before COVID. I mean, it started before. It was even before 9/11. Because look at the airline industry. It's like you get, oh, here's your low flight carrier. You click on that stuff. Yeah, you think you're going somewhere for $88 round trip? No, that's like $178 round trip. And then when you click on to look at your seat, like, oh, you want to sit in the toilet? That's $1. That's $1 extra. That ain't free. That's $1 extra, right? If you want to sit up in front, that's $25 extra. It's like, come on, dude. Just to your point. It sucks that they're charging that extra, but I wouldn't mind looking, and if I'm going to book a flight and click on something, be like, yeah, I can pay $150 for that seat instead of being like, oh, that seat's $80. Next thing I know, I got $79 in BS fees.
It would save you time.
It does save you time, but listen, the whole industry is a joke, dude. There's too many damn fees on everything. There's so many fees, I don't even know what to call them. You know, it's like a processing fee. It's a convenience fee. It's a conveyance fee.
What the hell is a convenience fee?
What is it to me?
And not to mention, everything's easier now, right? Everything's digital. And we just talked about ain't nobody checking you out. So we know there's nobody sitting back making that transaction. Right. Oh, well, Rory, John, 47,000 transactions came in. Get to looking at those. No.
Right.
So you're not paying. You're paying for electricity. That's what your convenience fee is.
That's the thing. There's nobody printing tickets anymore.
No.
You don't get physical tickets. You have to make sure you charge your phone.
Hey, there's an idea for you. Give me a physical ticket so I can put it in my scrapbook.
Yeah.
How about that?
Anything else on anybody's mind? Anything else? We're good? We almost got me and John back. I just, you know, like we work hard for our money like everybody else does. It'd be nice to be able to do some of the stuff we want to.
It shouldn't cost $400 to go with a family and sit in the upper deck at a baseball game.
I want to go to the Bruins with three other people. You can't get in the lower bowl at the Bruins for under $250.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah, we were down in Philly like 2 weekends ago, and I was like, oh, we could spend the night. Let's look at the Eagles tickets. They're playing the Cowboys. Just to get in the nosebleeds, $375.
But some schleps paid that. That ticket got sold.
That's what, probably a 70,000 seat stadium?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 60.
Lincoln Financial, it's probably around there. Most football stadiums are 65, 70,000.
Yeah. Well, Soroy's loves Philly.
You love Philly.
Oh, I was a wasted rant. I could have went off on Philly.
No, we know you're Philly.
Philly went off on Philly.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. John Senecal, Matt Soroy's fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.